All right. Apropos of something which we spoke about last week, maybe I'll wait till we get a little bit into the paragraph before I go through this, but the machla, the plague, which was sent by Hashem on Plishtim because they took the Aron into captivity, consisted of it's not exactly clear what, but basically of mice or some other rodent entering the intestines or attacking the outer regions of the body, of the bodies of the plishtim, and either causing some sort of ailment or causing some sort of inflammation, similar to hemorrhoids. That's basically what it was. So we're mentioning that context. Mice, the achbarim, and aphorim or tchorim, which was the term used for these hemorrhoids or these inflammations. And we're going to talk about that more this evening and tell you a little more when we get there about the nature of these maladies. In the meantime, it's a relatively simple parak tonight. The plishtim had been afflicted by this malady for several months now. And parak vav begins, parak vav basakal, vayaron Hashem te plishtim. The Ark of God was in the field of the Plishtim, Shiva Chodashim, for 7 months. Vayikru Plishtim, and the Plishtim called Lakohanim to their priests, Velakosmim, and to their magicians. Lemoi to ask them the following two questions. A. Manasel Aron Hashem, what should we do with the Aron of God? Should we send it back or keep it ourselves? Hodiyunu, and furthermore notify us, Bamenishachemukomo, with what should we send it back to its place? In other words, if we do decide to send it back, how should we decide it back, send it back, in what manner and with what gifts? And the way the Maamar explains it, they ask the Kohanim, the priest, the second question, because the priests are the experts in how to serve a god. They ask the Kosmim, the magicians, the first question, because the magicians are kind of diviners, who set themselves up as prophets, and they're asking the question of whether to send the whether to send the Aron back at all. That was the question they referred to then. Vayomu, and they said, this is what, according to the Malbim, the Kohanim answered. They first replied, "Im Shalchim es Aron Elokei Yisrael, if we do send back the Aron of the God of Israel, then Al Tishalchu Oso Rekab, don't send it back empty-handed. Ki Yoshev Toshivu Lo Asham, you should send back with it an Asham, in other words, an offering which expresses your feeling of contrition, of guilt. Of course, it wasn't an Asham to read about Tshuva. They were not going to all of a sudden become from people and over the Hashem. But here, that's why it's not a form of Tshuva, but rather it's a form of a guilt offering, a form of contrition. Az Terapu, and then you will to be healed. For no da'wachem, and quite the most important thing, this means retroactively you'll become aware, Rama lo sasu yadam mikem, why the hand of God was not removed from you, in other words, why you were constantly afflicted. The Malbim learns, though, for no da'wachem means in the future. When you return the Aron, then you will be made aware, not at that point, by your prophets, by other Kosmim, who at that point will be able to prophesy, because it seems now that there was a plague, the Kosmim felt their prophecy was caught off. They weren't able to get in touch with their gods to be notified what the cause of the plague was, and they assumed that it was because the God of Israel was a very mighty God. So therefore they said, you know what? Well, in order to be able to get back the prophecy, so we should know exactly what was going on here, so we have to send back the Aron, and then in Odalachem you become aware, Lama lo sasa yodam ikem, why God's hand was constantly outstretched against you. Okay? So according to most of the question, Odalachem means, obviously, if the Aron goes back and you see that the plague ceased, then you know the plague is because of the Aron. According to Mami means, at that time, your prophets will be able to tell you because their prophecy will be restored unto them. Vayom. Okay, so the nation said, Ma Shamasher Nashif. What is the atonement, the offering of contrition, which you should give back low to God? Vayomu to Hashem. And they said, the Kohanim answered, Mispar Sarei HaPlishtim Chamisha, corresponding to the amount of officers of the Plishtim of the five major cities, which Rashi brings down here, Aza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gas, and Ekron, corresponding to those five cities, Chamisha Tchorei Zov. You should send back five Tchorim of Zov. Now, originally it said, you know, obviously the Ksiv is Afole, and the Kri is Tchorim. And this is, according to most Mepharshim, this refers to the hemorrhoids. But according to other Mepharshim, it's a form of smaller rodent. The Chamisha Achborei Zov, and also five, according to one interpretation, that's the mice. According to another interpretation, those are larger mice. Kimagefa Achas Kulam, because everybody's being afflicted equally, Ulusar Nechem, both for the nation and for the officers, for the noblemen. So he tells them, the Kohanim tell the Plishtim to take these five each of the Achborim and of the mice, and five each of the hemorrhoids. Now, originally in the text it says here, of course, Afolim, and then it's changed to Tchorim. And I asked Rabbi Moshe Eisenberg about it today, and he claimed that Afolim was a kind of slang word. And that's why they changed it to Tchorim, which was a more respectable word for this disease, for this problem. In any event, be it as it may, the bottom line is, Vasisem Tzalmei Afolech, Vasisem Tzalmei Afolech, and we should make images of your hemorrhoids or of the small rodents, Vatzalmei Achbereim, and images of the large rat, of the mice or the large rodents, Hamashchisim Asorets, which are eradicating the land, or destroying the land. When the Satan, or the Kesor Kavod, and you should give the God of Israel honor, Ulai Yokeles Yodome Alechem. Maybe you will diminish his hard hand from upon you, from upon your God, because we know the Plishtim's God suffered, such as the Gog, which was found broken in his temple, and from the land itself. For Roma, why do you harden your hearts? Like the Egyptians and Paro hardened their hearts, the same way God wrought havoc with them, and they had to cast the Jews away to go. So the same is going to happen to you as well. Yes.
How did they know that Paro had hardened his heart, his own heart? Was that common knowledge?
Well, in fact, according to our tradition, Paro didn't harden his own heart. Right, Hashem hardened his heart. So I guess, the common knowledge was that Hashem hardened the heart. That's everybody assumed. Yeah. He was pushing that, right? I didn't look. I should have looked really in one of the biblical encyclopedias. But I, in the dim recess of my memory, I seem to recall, In fact, the Plishtim were some subsidiary tribe or a shoot-off tribe from the Egyptians. So that would make sense that they have that name. They have that understanding of power and what power's fate was. So the Malum says on this pasuk that now we're going back to discuss the first question. That was the first question of whether they should send the arm back or not. So here, the priests are telling them, listen, we should for sure send it back. Because otherwise, who knows how much suffering we'll have to undergo, like the Egyptians had to undergo, because of Paro and their own stupidities. However, we shouldn't just send it back carte blanche without any strings attached. We should give it a test and see if Taka is the Aron, which was the root of our problems. How are you going to do that? Vatoa, and now Kichu, take Vasu Agora Chadosha, make a new wagon. Achas one. Now, the Malbim says that there's several nisim alluded to in this pasuk, because they were trying to make the nes, the miracle, very difficult to perform. First of all, they took a new wagon. It's hard to pull new wagons. They're not. They're heavier. They're not as
greased. So, did you say, Mrs. Zimmer?
No, I was moving good.
Okay. Ustepalos olos, and take two cows, which are nursing, and normally nursing cows do not leave their offspring. Alos means that that's what I just said, it's not nursing. Asherolalem ol, who also never had a yoke upon their shoulders. In other words, they're very hard to get to drive wagons because they're not used to having yokes. Vasakim sepolos ba'agola, he should tie the cows to the wagon where the owner is going to be. Vashivosim b'neim e'achaloyim ha'boisa, and you should have your children watch from behind the means that you should have the children of the cows, in other words, the calves, behind them in a house, in other words, where sort of the natural tendency of these two paros would be not to go away, but rather to stay in close vicinity to their young ones, to their offspring. But after you set up all these trials, say the officers of the police team, the coach team, take the Aron Hashem, Usatim Osorago, and put it into the wagon. That's called Klei Azov, and the golden vessels, Asher Ashevosem Lo, which are going to return them for an Osham, for this offer of contrition. Tasimu Bargoz, put that into a box. Mitzido, on the side of the Aron. Ushlachtem Osorago, you should send it away, Vehalach, and it will go. Okay? Urisem. And you'll see, depends how it goes. Urisem, you're going to see, in Derek Gevulo, before I go on, see if then the Aron goes up via the Poros directly to the closest Jewish border settlement, Beit Shemesh. Then, if you see that happens, you know that God is behind all this great travail which befell us. And if not, however, in other words, it doesn't fulfill all these, overcome all these tests and go straight up to the Jews in Beit Shemesh, we will know that it's not the hand of God which afflicted us. Mikra hu ayalana, it was just by chance. So the Malvim is very bothered by this. He says, what would they really believe, that it was all just by chance? After all the nisim and all the niflos which they saw, with all the great afflictions which they underwent, would they believe that this whole thing happened by chance? All the past 7 months of hell just happened on their own? That makes no sense. So therefore, says the Malvim, it doesn't mean that it was a test whether it comes from God, the God of the Jews, or not. Obviously, the God of the Jews is taking it out on them. The question is whether it's because of the Aron, or the Aron, because of the Aron having been stolen, that's why they've been afflicted, or no, they're being afflicted by some other reason, just that it's conveniently attached to the event of the Aron being in the field of the Plishtim for so long. So the Malvim says that was the test, not to know whether it came from God. No, of course it came from God. You can't have afflictions for so long and not have it come from God. Rather, the test was to see whether, in this case, it was because of the Aron directly, in which case when they send back the Aron, they should be off the hook, or it was because of some other reason, and the Aron was just a catalyst to start the process of punishing them for whatever reason Hashem saw fit to punish them. Yes.
Bottom line is the same, though, regardless of whether it's the Aron or it's Hashem doing it through the Aron.
Right, but then if they send back, if it's the latter, Hashem doing it through the Aron, so sending back the Aron might not save them. So they might as well keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's the same. Right?
It's causing them, okay?
We don't know. Okay. It'll be something else, not the Aron.
The people did this. They took the two nursing cows. They hooked them onto the wagon. And their children, they left home. Vayasimus Aron Hashem al Agola, and they put the ark on Agola, that's our gods, and the box, that's Achbarea Zohab, and the golden mice which they made as a tribute, that Samea Choream, and the images of their hemorrhoids. Vayishan Apolos Baderech al Derech Beisle, before I get to that, let's take a look at my sheet here. Last page. My handwriting at the top. Yisroel Kadoshim Beis, your Beis, Sof HaMarav. Even people are clean of other desires. Nonetheless, nobody is clean, at least almost nobody is clean of the desire or lust for money. There are people who like their money more than their bodies. They have a desire or a drive for money. Despite the fact that money never fulfills your direct personal taiva. Money is always what they call in human development a secondary reinforcer. By that we mean you don't get anything primary pleasure when you get money. You don't get food. I mean, money is not food, money is not drink. But nonetheless, it provides an individual with the wherewithal to engage in all those activities. That's why it's called a secondary reinforcer, the second tier of reinforcing. So already in the secular literature, they say that they don't fully understand why, but the drive for a secondary reinforcer is much more powerful than the drive for a primary reinforcer. In other words, people are much more driven to get money than they are to get food and drink. You know that, right? So why is that? So Tzadik explains, well, not yet quite. We'll get to it in the middle of the paragraph or towards the end of the paragraph. Hagam shalom yimula, a person has a desire for money. Hagam shalom yimula, but the time is kufi, though can't fulfill his lusts. But after, on the contrary, of yaziklo, it can even damage him, this pursuit of money. Rak who only have a mamon atmo, but he loves the money itself, ad akhbira the shaki vadimre, until he's like a mouse who lies on his coins. Which is a saying in the Gemara for a miser. Why is that what a miser is called? Because this is the source of the lust of the Rishoyim. They're like the evil mice. It's Gemara in Orios, it says, mentions last week that mice are evil because they steal even stuff they don't need and take it back to their holes. They eat up garments, they take stuff which they don't need and they take it back to their holes. So if that's the case, people who are achbarim have a great taiva for things, even if they don't have any direct, immediate, and substantial, tangible benefit from it. That's what a mouse is all about. So it said, Shorish Anachosh is from the source of the snake. Shunoshech, who bites, Avabishem Anah Klal, even though he gets no Hanah. When a snake bites a man, he doesn't get any Hanah from it. So why does he do it?
His nature.
His nature. And what kind of nature is that? So that so it says that that's not considered to be Derech Hanah, that's not considered to be So it's not considered to be a form of anoa because it's just his nature. It's not a form of tangible benefit. Now it's true we can enjoy the sadistic pleasure of biting somebody, right? We know many people like that, but that's not considered to be benefit. It's not considered to be pleasure. In Masechta Avodah Zarah, where it talks about things which are hanoa, which are forbidden from Avodah Zarah, that kind of pleasure which you might have by, if you're a pyromaniac and you like burning Avodah Zarah, it's not prohibited, right? Because that's not considered to be Derech Hanah. So here too, what Hanah does the snake get from biting? except for this sadistic pleasure. So that's how to be a no cloud. Talks about a snake biting. So here too, a mouse represents to us stealing or eating without any anoa. And therefore, through this, it said, why it says, if you eat a mouse, you start forgetting things. I'm supposed to eat mouse for other reasons. But if you eat a mouse, you start forgetting things, your brain starts to atrophy. So he says, why is this? Eating mice makes you forget that Hashem, Yoser, me, Bakom, more than anything else. Why? Yes, we call it typhus.
Well, I guess Reb Tzadik is making a play here, because it's an association.
He's associating Taivas Mammon, the drive for money, which takes a person away from Hashem, and the consumption of mice, who have that midah of just consuming without any pleasure, right?
The consumption of mice that mice consume, or humans?
The Gemara says if you eat a mouse, you start forgetting things. That's what it says. So Tzadik is trying, I believe, to explain that. He's saying that because the mouse has this great taiva for things, even though they don't give him any direct benefits.
It's the nature.
Right. Well, obviously we're learning a mushroom from the mouse. The mouse itself is not an evil.
We're learning a mushroom here. And he's trying, if I'm correct, he's trying to explain that sometimes you will even put your good in jeopardy and in danger in order to get the money, right?
Right, yes.
Now, for instance, this is true, because have you ever seen a guy coming into a bakery and pulling a gun and saying, give me a loaf of bread?
Right. Not as we said for primary reinforcements, only for secondary things.
Go to a bank and pull a gun.
That's right.
Put his life in jeopardy for you to get money, but not to get a loaf of bread. So I'm saying this is very true. But the consumption of the mouse itself is very similar, because again, it just doesn't because that's what's
allowed
to do. That's
habit. That's what mice do, right?
But that humans who will consume mice will
because any animal, see, in mystical perspective, any animal eating of its flesh, in eating of its flesh, you partake of its traits. So if you eat a lot of mice...
What if you eat a lot of meat?
And a chanami, whatever traits a cow... Yeah, Reb Tzadik says that. Whatever traits a cow has. Yeah, exactly. Whatever traits... You become vain. That's why you're not supposed to eat so much red meat. So it'll be an achila gasa.
What did the Kahanim do?
They only are there twice a year, or two weeks a year.
I mean, they were
a mishmar.
Well, I only had a mishmar once and twice a year.
Yeah, twice a year.
Is that what
24 mishmaros, yeah, so they're twice a year.
I thought there were so many kahanim, but in other words, they were rotated quite
frequently. Yeah, even then, each mishmar had seven batei av, so each beis av got a day.
Yeah, but they could eat kachim and throw some mices. I mean, and he could eat kachem even though they were not on the
mishmar. Right, but they usually didn't. But anyway, Reb Tzadik also explains, just to get a little bit off on a tangent somewhere, he says that that's why the more coarse the animal, the more preparations you need for it. Like a fish is a very, you know, minor, very light, so to speak, animal, so therefore you just kill it and eat it. But a behemoth...
Well, even the preparation for it, the broiling or the cooking or the
also, it's very short. Yeah, right. That's also true. But he says, whereas a behemah requires shchita and melicha, you know, all that, and of course, it also requires as you say, it takes much more time to prepare. So every food expresses a certain spiritual trait which you get when you eat that food. You are what you eat. Yes. Maybe we should get us both a coffee and this stuff. You know. What? Right, because they have bad traits, right? Animal. I don't know which is the cause and which is the effect. But right, trafe animals and trafe birds are supposed to cause negative impacts upon an individual. Let's just try to go a little bit slow until he gets back. So, getting back into the fourth line, okay, he makes kind of a play on this. So he can't raise it, but Ikra Ashkocha, not just from eating mice, but also from having the type of money, that's the primary cause for people to forget Hashem. He has to be called more than any other cause. We call it more than any other type of. You might eat and be so satiated with Gomer, and you will multiply your gold and your silver. And at the end of the process, for gold and for Gomer, etc., for one Levavcha v'shachachta v'gomer, and your heart will become holy and you will forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ta'idei Achil Levan, that by eating on its own, Shvatai v'Rishon, which is the first lust, v'chait Adam, and the sin of Adam Rishon, Adayin lo magia l'shichah, you do not yet reach forgetfulness. Rak Ayidei ribui mamon, but by having a lot of the money and a desire to amass money, I should say more properly, the mizah b'legeus, from money you come to gaiva. The kol taiva.
Oh, wait a minute till it gets back, because it's an important point.
But by having much money, the miserable gains from this, you come to gaiva, to haughtiness, or the cold taiva. Because with every lust, shirak l'shol, which it passes, the regular taiva, it's only for an hour or the moment of the taiva. The chakach l'kuloya, immediately afterwards it passes. And therefore all taivas are called mishle, lechem sheker, bread of lies. The lechem kezavim, bread of treachery. Sheposek mian, it stops immediately. Taivas, any taiva, other than money, it's over. You eat the Big Mac, right? It's finished. What's the matter? Whatever. Eat the Big Mac, it's finished. You transgress the zmus, it's finished. It's a fleeting moment. But money,
it's constant.
The type of money is a constant thing. Mashiach Mamon, Sheyucha Adam, we don't suppose to make a mistake and think that money is real. That the money he makes is the money which he maintains and keeps, Kol Yemei for his entire life. From the type of money you can come, L'chol Ra, to all evil. Because all evil is rooted in haughtiness, right? Hakina, a type of a kavod, the ultimate Yetzer is kavod, and the quest for personal kavod is wrapped up very tightly with the quest for money, right? Money and fame go together, and one looks, since money is a continuously extant taiva, so therefore it also causes an individual to have gaiva. A, because if you accumulate enough money, then you can be haughty about it. B, because this quest for something which seems to be real, as opposed to something which everybody knows is fleeting and fake, leads a person to a sense of security or confidence in his own path. The Mizeba Shvir, eventually, however, from this came the time when the world was created. I don't want to get into that right now, it's a Kabbalistic issue, but when the world was created, because of Gaiva, the world was broken the first time, it didn't work. With Chiyas Metzias Aran, from the Gaiva came the beginning of the existence of evil, till you come to the point of forgetting God. So therefore the drive for money, is the root of the roots, shall call me Neira, of all evil. So, why am I bringing this down here? Very clearly because of the mice. Because the plishtim were afflicted by mice to symbolize, in my opinion, I'm just hypothesizing this, this is free association, that they were a big Bali Tiber for a moment. How do I know that? I'm making it up, obviously. But from their name and from their trade, what were they, the plishtim?
Seafarers, right? They expanded by going down to sea, right? They were constantly involved in the pursuit of money.
Import-export, right.
So therefore, 220 volts. So therefore, since they were involved in the involved in all this Kaivas Mammon, they were afflicted, Mida Kenega Mida, by the being overrun by the mice, which reflect this Kaivas Mammon. And when they wanted to be contrite about their evil ways, they sent back golden mice. Okay? Which pasuk we have to now?
Maybe they got from the Jews that when they were afflicted.
Very good. Yes, I wrote it down as a matter of fact in Pasuk, in my notes here in Pasuk. Pasuk K. Although I didn't have an explicit interpretation, but you're right. And I think I saw somebody actually speak about it. Maybe it was a Tzadok, maybe somebody else. That the Nechash and Nechoshes worked in a similar way. When Moshe made the copper serpent on the banner, so then the symbol of medicine, so then that had to do with, of course, the Bnei Yisrael being afflicted with snakes. And we see that the way around that was to make the copper snake. So to get them to look up at the sky with the copper snake and see it and think about the snakes and think about doing tshuva and think about looking to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and davening to Hashem. So here too one can make the case that it's a similar idea. That's right, that they were giving these rodents back to Hashem in form of gold as a form of reconnecting through some object which was of similar to their or the same as that which afflicted them. Yes, there is, certainly seems to be that same connection. Okay, in positive days, Vaishana Poros Badecher, so a lot of miracles have happened. First of all, the cows went straight up. They didn't go sideways anyway. On the derech, al derech Beis Shemesh, towards Beis Shemesh. B'nesila achas, and they went, very interesting, one lane. It was a four-lane highway. They went, though, in the cattle lane, not in the pedestrian lane. They went in the Sila Achas. Well, these are miracles. These are miracles. So, miraculous cattle. Halachu. They went aloch the go, going and, I don't know, the mooing, whatever cows do, because of their great joy. For the same in the small, they didn't go to the right or to the left, they just went constantly straight. And the Sarnei Plishtim were following them in amazement. Adbul Beit Shemesh to the border, the demarcation line with Beit Shemesh. Interesting thing here, Chazal say Rashi brings down their Pasuk base, by Sharna means that the cows were singing. They sang. And so the Gemara Avodah Zarah, the Chav Dalam Beis brings out a big machlokas as what they were singing.
Shira.
What?
Shira.
Which one? Karlbach, Avram, Fried, Mordechai Ben David.
They didn't have their
Yashkos. Oh, Yashkos is one of the interpretations. Is that brought down here somewhere? Is Rashi bringing it down? No, Rashi's been. How do you know that?
I just figured, you know.
It wasn't Daphne Omi. It was Daphne Omi. Right. So that's one of the opinions. There are about three or four opinions. But Rashi brings down the last opinion.
They were, missing their young.
That was part of the Nace also, that even though they're missing their young, nonetheless they went. Rashi says even the young were singing this song. The Prophet went and the guys that stayed behind as well. It's like a miracle, like when Hashem opened the mouth of the donkey at the time of Bilam. Similar idea. But in any event, the Rashi brings down here that the final opinion there in Avodah Zarah, Sarav Nach B'Yitzchak, they were singing the following song. I wrote it down here in Pasuk. In the Pasuk Vav and Yudbeis, the Shita Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, which says that they sang Roni Roni Ashita, rejoice, rejoice, the Shita wood, which is part of the Aron's three layers. His Nofafi Barov Aderech, wave on the great path. Hamuchushekets, that object which is encased with Rikme Zav Amulola, with tapestries of supreme gold. Bedvir Amon, which is
placed normally in the hall of the palace, umefuara, and is glorified by Adi Adoyim with many, many decorations. So that's the song they sang. There's not a pasuk anywhere in Tanakh. This is Rav Nachman Yitzchak seems to make it up. The Gemara there in Rav Avodah Zarah goes on to say, Ravashi says that Bnei Yisrael said the shir when Moshe said, Kum Hashem Yavutz Revech. In other words, Vayibin Tzara, Vayomer Moshe. Right, so we now sing with the Chazan, Kum Hashem Yavutz. In Shulzer, they sing it. They sing with the Chazan, Kum Hashem Yavutz Revech. But the Gemara said, the Gemara there, more than Avodah Zarah says that when Moshe first said Kum Hashem Yafutzoi Vecha, so Bnei Yisrael answered Roni Roni Ashita. They sang this song. That's what Rav Ashi says. What?
No.
Why? So I believe the pshat is like this. There, by even saw, Chazal tells us that the whole pasuk by even saw is speaking about the Yetzer Hara. Allegorically, Vayivin Tzora, I don't know if it's Chazal or Rishoni, but Vayivin Tzora, Rome, Layom Moshe, Tzora Rome means when we're going out to Golos, and we have to face all the Yetzer and all the difficulties. So Moshe says, Kum Hashem, arise, you put Tzorech and scatter the enemy, scatter the Yetzer. Right? So here, what were they still saying about that in kind? They're saying, Kaka, how are we going to scatter our enemies? With the Yoram, right? Vayivin Tzora, Ha'aram. What does the Aram represent that it's going to scatter our enemies, the Yetzirah? So, the Shita. What's the Shita? We mentioned that last week. The Shita wood in the middle of the Aram represents the Maisa of cheating. What happens in cheating? What happened in cheating? Parshas Bullock.
Oh, the
Maisa with the girls, the Moabite and Midianite girls, where they followed Avodah Taiva, where they followed their own desires. So here we're saying, that's bad. That's why the Aron is the Shita, sublimated by being paneled on both sides, the inside and the outside, with gold. In other words, using that quest for that Taiva quest, using the same Shamayim by using it for Chemdas HaTorah, for love of Torah. By the way, just it's completely interesting, a little bit far-fetched, but I mean, far-fetched and completely interesting, though. You get my idea. That the Aron was made out of silver, gold. Because it should have been made theoretically out of silver.
Silver?
Why do I say silver? Because silver in Hebrew is kesef.
Yes.
And kesef in Hebrew means kisufim, to yearn for something.
Oh,
so really the Aron should have been made out of silver, which means to yearn, but to yearn l'shem shamayim. Alright, but it wasn't. It wasn't made out of silver, because everything in the base something is made out of gold. But the point is that Bnei Yisrael said, we see the problem of Taiva. Here, that's what they said. We see the problem of Taiva because Taiva led to all these terrible things of Bnei Yisrael, the pearls. The cow said, we see the problem of Taiva because Taiva led to all the terrible things which occurred with the Aron and the whole Maisa. Right? The whole thing. And therefore, Roni Roni Ashita, surround the Taiva, sublimate our lust, use the L'shem Shamayim. The Shita thing, the lust thing, should be used the L'shem Shamayim. That's what Bnei Yisrael meant here. And that also could be true, also back there in the Moshe says, Kum Hashem Yafutzo Evecho. God should scatter his enemies, but how are we going to ensure it happens? We have to be the army. Right? So how do we scatter the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who are Yetzirah? With Torah. So that's why they said, when they heard that there's going to be a problem, Yetzirah and Golos, where they're going, Roni Roni Ashito, let's get that aura moving, which Taka did go, by even thought, in order to take care of any potential problems with the Yetzirah. So here too, that's the thing. By Shara Paras Bedech, they were singing the song of Roni Roni Ashita in order to tell us that if you have a Yetzirah, then sublimate it, use it L'shem Shemayim for a drive for Avas Hashem and Avas Torah and Avas Yisrael. Don't use it for the wrong purpose of Taiva. Okay? Beit Shemesh, in Pasuk Gimel, Beit Shemesh Kosim Ketzir Chitim, the Beit Shemeshites were harvesting their wheat.
Baimek in the valley, by Suez Aynam, and they uplift their eyes, by Yerus Aron, and they saw the arm, by Yitzbuch Liros, they all rejoiced to saw. So all the Mepharshim say this is problematic. What do you mean? So if they rejoiced, why are they punished? We haven't seen the punishment yet, but they're going to be punished pretty bad. So what does it mean they rejoiced? So the Malbim says that they rejoice that, oh, look, there's an exciting thing going on, but they didn't rejoice at the Yeshua, the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by bringing back to them the Orum. So therefore, they were punished later on with devastating results. I'm trying to remember what the Malbim says. I don't remember offhand, but he said something similar. But in any event, so according to them, oh yeah, I know what it wants to see. Radak and Pasuk Yutes. Take a look at Pasuk Yutes in the Radak. It's a page away. That's what people are actually killed. So he said, because he asked, he rolled the Aron because they saw the Aron. Tagum Yer Yonis and Yonis says, "Al the Chadil, since they rejoiced in the Chazi Yisrael and they saw the Aron, Hashem Kamo Shem Avisim Chuliros, like it says, they rejoiced to see." Ubedir Razal, Mishum Da'avu the Chagu. Mishum the Chagu. Oh, he's a pointer because they saw the Aron. They look at it. Bayach Manche Beishemesh. So therefore they were smitten. The Nechukub was there, and they had a Machlekes Me'emar Musha Yukotzer Mishtachmin. Some say the problem was that they were Kotzer Mishtachmin, that would say, harvest and bow down. They didn't take out the time to really thank Hashem or give honor to Hashem sufficiently. They didn't stop working for the Aron. Some people said, they said bad things about the Aron. And they said, man amoyich, who rebelled against you, damis, or who treated against you, that you committed treason, went to the Bishlim, who man taisach, appeased you, that you were appeased. We did that drasha that yet perush, and in this manish we can explain up. It means it says in the pasuk ru whatever. Kamali rose b'chala or whatever. I'm just going to skip this part. But don't mention partial also blush being done. And yet another interpretation. Vanochon should mashapi rashnu and says Radak that which we said is better should pasul also for ro mashap b'sochu. Why were they punished the people of the of Shpei Shemesh? Because they actually opened the Orum to see what's inside, and that's forbidden, and not allowed to open the Aron. That was the mistake they made. Okay, in any event, somehow they made some mistake, and the simcha here in Pasuk Yud Gimel is not a real good Jewish simcha, but a bad simcha, which is going to ultimately lead them to be punished. So, I also had another interpretation here, which I don't know if it's true or not true, but there's a Gemara in Yuma, Daf Samach Gimel. Not you, Aaron Samakimel, which says that when the Aron is not in its proper place, which means in the Beis Hamikdash, or I guess also in the Mishkan, the Nesor are forbidden to have Tashmish Hamitza. They're not allowed to have relations. So it could be here that the Vayismuchu means when the Aron came back, they were all very happy because for 7 months they weren't allowed to have relations, or at least it was shunned. And therefore now, Vayismuchu, they got really happy, but not because they liked Hashem and they were very happy that Hashem's Aron came back, but rather because now they could retain or fulfill their own personal agenda. And basically they lost the message of the Aron was lost out on them, if that's the case, right?
The same message that they lost when they first brought the Aron to the battlefield. They were happy. Also, I don't know if it's the peace movie, but they were happy for the wrong reason. They said, now we're going to win the war. And they lost.
That's true. Similar idea. Yeah. You know, asking as a question, maybe this
no, I'm just assuming.
Right. So the title is that's right. The title is always a downfall. Okay. Let's go on to pasuk Yudalit. Vagolabo El Stei Yoshua Beis Hashimshi. The wagon came to rest in the field of Yoshua and Beis Shemesh. The Talmud Shom, it's still there. Shom Evan Dolan, there was a big rock there.
And they broke up the wood of the wagon, that's our poros, and the cows, Helu Ol Hashem, and they gave the sacrifice to Kosh Baruch. The question is, who gave the sacrifice to Hashem? Who would you say? People of Chemish, that's what I would say too, but the opinions of Chazal, that was the Plishtim themselves who sacrificed the sacrifices. Look, they saw everything was Yad Hashem, right? All these Nisim occurred, so the Baal Korcham Yanu Amen, as they say, they had to say Amen even against their will, right? They saw all these great Nisim, what are they going to do? Say it's all a hoax. So therefore, they themselves sacrificed. Besides that, Valavim Aridus Aron Hashem, Ravim took the Aron Hashem off the back of the wagon, that's our guys, and the box Asherita, which was with the Aron Asherbo Kolkleizov, which in which they had all the golden vessels. By Simo Evan Agdol, they put it on a big rock. V'Anshei Beit Shemesh, and now the people of Beit Shemesh start participating. Helu Olos VaYizbuchu Zvachim VaYomer Hashem. They start giving special kabbalas to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The Chamisha Sarei Plishtim Ro, and the five elders of the Plishtim who came to accompany this expedition saw, Hashuva Ekron Bayomo, and they went back to Ekron on that day. They saw it, well, after they saw Bnei Yisrael doing their part, they went back and they reported on it to their own people. Ve'elu Tchorei Hazav, and these are the golden hemorrhoids, Asher Yeshivu Plishtim, which the Plishtim sent back, Asham Hashem, as a tribute of contrition to Hashem. Ashtod Echor, one had to do with Ashtod, Azza Echor, one had to do with Azza, Rashkron Echor, one had to do with Ashkron, Gas Echor, one had to do with Gas, Rekron Echor, one had to do with Ekron. And although technically they only had to send five mice as well, no, they sent much more than that. They sent Mizbako, Oriya Plishtim, they sent out the mice corresponding to the, this is the golden mice obviously, corresponding to the amount of Philistine cities. The Chameshas Asuranim, which were underneath the jurisdiction of these five overall noblemen, Meir Mitzor, from the city called Mibzar, Valkover Prozi, to another city called Kofar Prozi, and Avel Gdorah, until finally the Avel Agdorah, which was a great plain, where also they made some sort of Avelus from the Forshim here, say, because of what's going to happen imminently in Beit Shemesh, probably. Asheri Gnichu Ales Aron Hashem, where they left the Aron Hashem, Adayom Azen, this place is still there. Until this day, the state of Yeshua Beis Hashimshi, it's in the house of Yeshua Beis Hashimshi. So all the police state participated in sending these gifts, and that's why it says all the borders all around. One side, of course, the border of the Plishtim is the sea. Then it says the southern border and the northern border and the eastern border, the western border. All these borders are participated at this time in the giving of the mice, despite the fact that theoretically they only needed five mice exactly, but Kol Amarba, I guess, HaRezei Meshubach. Okay? Bayach Banchei Beit Shemesh. So it came to pass, since people of Beit Shemesh did not conduct themselves the proper derech eretz vis-a-vis the Aron, God smote them. Ki ro b'Aron Hashem, because they saw the Aron of Hashem, and obviously they saw it improperly. Bayach Bohem Shivim Ish, and he killed, they killed 70 people, to Chamishim Elif Ish, 50,000 people. Bayisablu Ha'am, and the nation mourned, ki koshem b'Aron Makal Gedola, because God smote in the nation a very great plague. Now, what does it mean, 70 people and 50,000 people? Either it's 70 people or 50,000. Why both numbers? So, the Chazal pointed out that the 70 people that killed were Rashi Sanhedros, the heads of Sanhedrin, and therefore there were 70 people worth 5,000 people, since they were so significant and important to Klal Yisrael. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation that the Malbim brings down here is that it's not significant, but it doesn't seem to say anything significant. Here. No, nope, don't say anything. Oh yeah, I know what it says. Where is it? Where the mom says, wherever it says, alright, maybe it was either 70 people, or we're like 50,000 people, or there are 50,000 people in the city, and the 50,000 people, or 50,000 people of the city were actually killed. That's the two ways in terms of soaking. By Omrat Shebe Shemesh, so the people at Shebe Shemesh said, gee, we're, we can't take this. Who can stand before God, this holy God, this holy Lord? To whom can we send Yoram, basically, Me'alenu, away from us, get rid of it before it kills any more of us? So, you know, I think in this process, it's just a hypothesis I had. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong about it. It says, I would say that Elohim here does not mean God. Rather means powers. And that's part of the chet of Anshei Beit Shemesh. Because they saw the Aron as, they didn't do tshuva. Again, right? They just saw the Aron as a magical, mystical thing. It's Elohim. What does the word Elohim mean? Right? Yes. Din, but also a person in a position of authority, right? A dayan is called the Chumash Elohim, right? So here the person say, this thing is major, major authority and power. Kadosh, holy, supernatural power. We can't subsist in such a city. With the Aron together. So they have two choices. Either they can all leave, or they get the Aron to leave. So which they choose? They chose to get rid of the Aron.
But what was the Anshei Beit Shemesh? The Jews
or the Jews? No, Jews.
They were Jews.
But they had a misguided interpretation of what to do with an Aron. That's what they're saying.
Well, in all fairness, then they weren't used to having.
Could be, but they're supposed to have an innate understanding of what to do with things which are holy. That's what I guess we expect of them. So David, they said, who could stand before this God, this powerful force? Elohim HaKadosh HaZeh, they have no stand up against Avodah Zarah, maybe, but not against such a strong, powerful force where they see there's really stuff going on here. So, can we get rid of it? To whom can we send it? So it says, they send messengers to the people who live at Kiryas Yoharim. You know where Kiryas Yoharim is nowadays? Abu Ghosh. That's where Kiryas Yoharim is. Yeah. Between Telson and Abu Ghosh. Moore is saying, Yeshiva Plishtim is Aron Hashem. The Plishtim gave back the Aron of Hashem, so therefore it's already, the Mount point out, you won't have to do any work because it's already back already. Just come down, redo, Baru Osoros Yitzchem, and take the Aron back with you to Kiryas Yoharim. So they were trying to palm off the Aron successfully, as we will see next week. So the bottom line is that nobody wanted the Aron after Beit Shemesh, nobody wanted the Aron after it caused such a devastating plague. Even though they were happy to get it back, it wasn't the right kind of happiness, and therefore the stay of the Aron was not a pleasant one. And now, in the next paragraph, we're going to see where the Aron resided from the day it got back, or from shortly after it got back, to the time that Shlomo HaMelech, I believe, to the time Shlomo HaMelech built the Beit HaMikdash, and then they moved it in. Okay? We'll stop here for tonight. For sure.